What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
A lot of good stories today.
30 minutes.
Yes.
We're going to start with an okay story that I just find annoying. Pizza Hut.
Me too.
Which we've talked about previously because they're doing the Big New Yorker, which is a really big slice. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get a second wave of publicity off of that.
Well, here we are.
Yep.
They are now the proud owner of the Guinness Book of World Records title for the world's largest pizza. They made a pizza that was 14,000 square feet. They did it in LA at the convention center, which is right by where we used to work. The convention centers are like airports without going anywhere. It's like the worst part of the travel experience.
Yeah, it's basically a warehouse.
Yeah, with like concessions sometimes. You're just like, where the fuck am I?
Yes.
Anyway, they use the Los Angeles Convention Center to make this pizza and to get the record and to have an article about it in people.com, which we are now reading.
However big you're imagining this pizza is, it's way bigger than that.
They use over 13,000 pounds of dough. It's
over 600,000 pepperonis.
It's like just such a ridiculous waste. And I don't know, like, why they had to do this. First of all, I believe they did this on Gilmore Girls. They made, like, a giant, giant pizza. And
missed that episode.
I just, like, this isn't even really new. And I also just think this seems like an incredible waste of resources.
Yes.
I hope they gave slices away.
They did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
But I'm sure the people that got those slices were kind of like, took two bites, and they're like,
probably tastes like shit.
Of course it did. It's 13,000 square feet.
Also, to cook it, they did, like, individual sections.
Yes, I did not like that. They assembled it later.
I don't think that counts.
I don't think that counts either. The first thing I thought was, like, what? How big is the oven? Like, do they build an oven to do this? And they're like, oh, they assembled it in the convention center. I'm like, wait a second. Like, so I could just buy a bunch of pizzas and put them together and call that a pizza? Disagree. You know what? Fuck this pizza.
I agree. This is ridiculous.
And they teamed with a YouTuber with 10 million subscribers to help make the pizza. We know what you're doing, Pizza Hut.
We get it.
We get what you're doing.
We see you.
You wrote this guy a check, so we'll talk about it. You know what? Let's move on. I'm pissed.
Next, Robert Pattinson.
Love this one.
I have seen almost none of his work.
Oh, I watched the new Batman thing.
The Batman, okay.
Yeah, I watched that one on a plane.
Did you watch Water for Elephants?
No, I did Twilight, though. Isn't he in that?
Yeah
I saw the Twilight series.
I didn't see any of those.
Really?
Yeah.
That is off-brand.
I'm not really into, like, the supernatural unless it's related to Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm, like, really into melodrama, like, feelings type,
okay.
type stuff.
Okay, got you.
Anyway, I love Robert Pattinson because he's, like, a fun celebrity, and he's very funny. And he told ES Magazine, I don't know, it's European, that for a role, he was talking about, like, all of the difficult standards and male body image for celebrities, all body image for celebrities, really for everyone. And he said that to accommodate a role, he claims he did a detox in which he only ate potatoes. For 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
with
just
Himalaya
potatoes.
Salt. And people, like, took this to be true. And then other people pointed out he has a history of lying just for fun to the press. And thank you to Vanity Fair, who's their write-up of this situation included a link to an article on theringer.com by Carrie Whitmer.
Great website.
Robert Pattinson has been lying to you for years, and Carrie went through all the different lies that he's told in the press.
Yes. And then he had an interview with William Dafoe where he says he does it just for funsies.
Yeah. It's a great strategy. Have fun.
It is. Can I just go negative for 1 second?
Sure.
It is until you start, there's going to be at least a dozen people that are going to try this stupid diet. And like, that's a little dangerous. You know what I mean?
That's true. That is true. I also Googled, is potato diet real? And the only like results I could get was like a 3 to 5 day thing. And it doesn't really do anything.
So he lied again to us.
Yeah.
But another thing is,
2 weeks of only potatoes. That's like basically like Tom Hanks and Castaway or like something like that.
No, not like Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Well, he's just like an only eat one like natural vegetable or natural thing for 2 weeks. That's what I meant.
It's just a very odd cleanse.
Yeah, because potatoes are starchy.
Yes.
They don't really make you... So carby. Potatoes aren't as bad for you as they're made out to seem. I think part of the problem with potatoes is they're like very frequently fried.
Chips. Like when we think about potatoes, we think about hash browns, fries, potato chips, and like super cheesy dishes.
Yes.
Potatoes by themselves are not that bad for you inherently.
Yes, exactly. So it seems like this is probably not true.
If it's not true, I do want to give him credit for one thing.
What's that?
One word.
Okay.
Himalayan.
Yes.
It's not, he's like, just 2 weeks of just potatoes. Like he had to add a little detail to make it seem true. Only Himalayan pink salt, which is really how to come up in the last decade. When I was a kid, it wasn't like, hey, which type of salt would you like? There was just salt. It was Morton's. It was just salt. Now Himalayan pink salt is like all the rage. Salt board?
I love salt.
Salt board?
Who doesn't like salt? I will say that, while that's a great detail to include, it also is sort of a tell where it's like a little bit too specific where he was like, oh, okay. He was selling it as hard as he could. Mm. And in the sell, it became the tell.
I always liked the idea that this is real and that he gets invited to like a dinner party at somebody's house. And he's like, listen, I'm going to come. I brought wine,
but just so you know, bringing my own meal.
But just so you know, I brought 2 baked potatoes and some Himalayan pink sea salt. No disrespect to your home or your food. I'm just on this thing right now because I have to be the Batman.
Robert Pattinson's very high on my list of celebrities that I'd like to have a meal with. Like, he just seems really fun. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he like just seems like he likes to throw him back, down for whatever.
Am I thinking? Didn't he cheat on Kristen Stewart or something?
She cheated on him.
With the older fellow, right?
Yeah. Matthew Vaughn.
God, you are so good at this.
Well, I just love celebrity gossip. Also, that was pretty landmark. I don't know. I just love him. He just seems fun.
Great.
All right, let's move on. Next, you may have seen a headline last week about how Keurig K-Cups may actually be not as bad for the environment as you may have been led to believe.
Like a filtered drip coffee.
Sure. So I'm a Keurig K-Cup user.
Really?
I have a Keurig at home.
Really?
In my home, I have a refrigerator that like I wanted my home because the refrigerator had a Keurig built into it. And I was so awesome.
Wow.
I know.
Does it have ice thing too?
It has everything. Yeah. Keurig, ice, water, hot water.
Ice.
It's like really awesome. It's a little slow. It's slower than a regular Keurig, but this is all to say, I'm a Keurig user. And also, I live alone. A Keurig is the best solution for a one. Like, you make a pot of coffee, it's too much. Even if it's a French press. So that's, I understand it's bad for the environment. Ben Higgins, like, once called me out on it, actually.
Oh, shut down.
Whatever. Anyway, that was last week's news. This week's news is actually...
Counterpoint.
It is bad for the environment.
No. It was, it's not bad for the environment, but then, like, this is not peer-reviewed. And like, you know what? As a peer, let me just review this. They're tiny little pieces of plastic that you put in the trash after you're done using them. That's bad for the environment.
I know.
Like, do we really need studies and counter-studies and press releases and counter-press releases? I can just tell. Eye test. Lots of plastic. Bad for the environment.
Well, it does raise the fact that people, when they're saying it's bad for the environment, it's like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about trash? Like, are you talking about, like, all the trash in the ocean, or are you talking about like emissions? Because the original article was like, actually less emissions, like soup to nuts, to have one cup of coffee from your K-Cup. But as you said, there's so much plastic and just trash.
Yeah, and then there's that, like, the way they make the plastic is emissions at the source factory. And there's just like, I don't fucking know. I hope my kids can figure out the environment because this is all bad.
My dad's like, I can't do anything about this, so I'm embracing climate change. I'm happy it hasn't snowed in a year. That's what he says.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of there, too. I'm like, this is your problem, future generations. We messed it up. You fix it. I do like that it's not snowy and cold.
Same. I'm like, I prefer the milder winter, although today I was confused. I was really hot. I was like, I overdressed. Like you, I run hot. Anyway, K-cups, not good for the
Guess
environment.
Guess what? Lots of plastic, not bad for the environment. Good for Juliet, bad for the environment. That's a bow in that story.
Exactly. All right. Next, we haven't had a good old inflation story in a while.
No.
And this one combines two things that we like to talk about, inflation and crime.
Crime.
And people are smuggling eggs into the United States from Mexico because eggs have become so expensive here.
Mm.
And people are getting caught. So don't smuggle eggs from Mexico.
Yes, you have to declare them. They're part of the list, like, you know, poultry and eggs and other things you obviously can't bring into foreign countries. But there was a tweet, actually, by someone who works at the borders. Be like, a lot of this going on lately. They just kind of let you go if you didn't declare it. They would just dispose of it. But now the quantities are such that they feel like they're reselling them. So it's not just for personal use.
Right. Smuggling eggs, of all the things we've discussed, one of the hardest things to smuggle.
Okay. I have some thoughts. At the border between Mexico and our country.
Mm-hmm. United States.
What are the climate? What's the temperatures like?
Warm.
Hot.
Yeah.
It's really hot. What about inside of a trunk of a car?
It's hot.
Where do you keep eggs in your home?
In the refrigerator, but you don't have to. I think people do that to keep them longer, but you don't have to refrigerate them. Yeah, you could leave them out.
You psycho.
You could also leave out butter. I don't, but you could.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before.
What do you do with peanut butter?
I do whatever my wife wants, but I like to keep it in the pantry, but she is a refrigerate the peanut butter person because it's too hard to scoop out.
Yeah, that makes it hard.
Spread.
I did like an online food order and I got Skippy and I wanted
Was it the same guy who came? No.
No, that's from Westville. And by the way, I haven't had Leandro in a while. I don't know what's up with Leandro.
Where are you, Leandro? If you listen to the pod, call in 646-2138.
Yeah, seriously.
We want to know what's going on.
Anyway, I recently got like a giant thing of Skippy and it was like natural, but it wasn't like the like no sugar added kind. Mm. And I was like, awesome. I don't have to put it in the fridge.
Yes.
So anyway, but your point is still taken, still pretty hot. I don't want smuggled eggs that have been in some guy's truck or some woman's truck.
Yes. No, I don't want to be like on, I want it to go from chicken, as many little people as possible in between me and the chicken.
Agreed. So maybe you should get a chicken.
Maybe I should get a chicken.
I don't know.
Problem solved.
Put one on the roof of your building.
In a little coop.
Let it run around or something.
It'll run off.
Well,
I'll work on it. I'll build a coop.
Yeah, just put some fencing up there.
Yeah, I'll give you an update next week. A food news update next week on my chicken coop on my roof.
All right, next. More inflation. And this hits close to home. I have an anecdote that I will not be saving for personal food news.
It involves grocery stores, so of course it hits close to home.
Sure does. This is about more inflation, and it posits that some grocery stores, including Tesco, says that some food producers are raising their prices because they can, like alleging inflation, but actually it's just like they're taking advantage of the moment. And the reason this hits close to home for me is that my local Key Foods, I went to buy my lemon Chobani yogurt, standard $1 item. They are now $2.
That's a hike.
Yeah, that's a 100% hike that will drive me to a different grocery store. And this is heartbreaking for me. I'm just like, and today I went to Whole Foods and they had 10 for $11. And I was like, yeah, that's what this should cost. So this is really upsetting.
Wait, Whole Foods is cheaper than Key Food?
Yes.
This doesn't make sense.
That's the Amazon model, I think. Like, they do bulk or whatever. But anyway, Key Food's just jacking the price up because they can, because all these prices are going up.
Counterpoint.
Okay.
There's a group called Watch with a question mark in Europe.
It's called Witch.
Witch?
Yeah.
I read it as Watch.
It's in W-I-C-H. Europe, it's Watch.
Yeah, that's it's Watch in European accent.
Okay. Watch.
Watch.
Beach.
Watch. Beach. What they're alleging is that it's actually the grocery store is taking advantage of the moment because the grocery store brands are actually raising at a higher rate than the brands.
That's what Key Food's doing.
And this makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see it and I'm not happy about it.
Because if you see higher prices across the board, you're naturally going to revert towards the sort of like generic brands.
Yes.
And they're raising those at a higher rate than the brands. You know what? This could be illegal, but it's also just kind of smart business. You know what I mean?
I guess, but I'm just really pissed about it. This is what I don't understand. I'm like, why don't gas prices come down? There aren't like other goods where like the prices come back down. It's like once it's up, it's up.
Do you know what I don't understand is it always comes back in every single one of these articles. They mention the war in Ukraine. I'm like, there has to be some segments of supply that have nothing to do with Russia and Ukraine. There has to be. There has to be.
They just can't replace that wheat production, I guess
so.
Oh man. Well, I'm pissed about it. Key Foods, I see you. I can't believe I've called out Key Foods. I go there all the time.
I was there yesterday.
I love Key Foods too. It's a wide range here in New York City, but whatever. It's the closest to me, so I don't even know what to do. All right, moving on. More celebrity news. I love when celebrity news and food news intersect.
Me too.
Especially when it includes the Toms. Tom Hanks on Tom Cruise. I mean,
oh, God, this is a good story. This should have been higher in the rundown.
Which Tom?
I forgot about this one.
Which Tom do you prefer?
Cruise, come on. It's not even close.
I love
great
Tom
Hanks. Two great Toms.
Two great, like, just real treasures. Everyone speaks highly of both of them. I will say Tom Hanks was on the Bill Simmons podcast last year. It was a great episode. I recommend it. Check it out. Okay, so he's doing press right now for this movie called A Man Named Otto, based on a wildly popular book that I have not read.
Really?
And he was talking about, by the way, he talked about
great concept for a show, by the way. It's called Last Meals. You serve the person what their last meal would be. That's a great, the people that do hot ones are like, oh, we've been one-upped.
And he had challah French toast, a double-double from In-N-Out with a Diet Coke, Greek salad with calamari served with tartar masala.
That's a huge miss right there.
This is a huge meal already. We're not even done.
But like the Greek salad with calamari, what are we doing, Tom?
Total LA pick and a Jacoby favorite.
Yes.
A Taste of History platter from El Cholo.
I had to read it three times because I've been to El Cholo approximately, I don't know, 4,000 times. I've never even seen the Taste of History platter even on the menu.
El Cholo is great. It's been getting a lot of love lately. It had an article about it in the New York Times.
I love El Cholo.
El Cholo is awesome. My friends Mike and Brad go to the one in Santa Monica all
that
the time.
Excellent as well. I think that's the original.
Yeah, it is. And like the people who work there are like so nice. They know them. It's just like, it's a
great experience.
It really is.
My wife is a huge fan of ground meat at a Mexican restaurant, which isn't that popular, especially in Los Angeles.
It's a gringo thing.
More, it's more like Tex-Mex. Yeah. They have a great ground beef there at El Cholo.
They do. It's really great there. Check out El Cholo if you're in LA. Anyway, his dessert was the Tom Cruise cake.
Raises a lot of questions.
Apparently, Tom Cruise sends everyone this coconut cake.
Oh, not everyone.
It's what he does.
A-listers only.
Sorry. It's A-listers only.
There's a huge difference between everyone and A-listers only.
And just to be clear, he does not make it himself.
Nope.
It's a $110 bundt cake that is made by Doane's Bakery in Woodland Hills, California. You can get it from Goldbelly. But it won't be the same if you're not getting it from
Tom
Cruise. So, bundt
cake, not my favorite cake, but this cake looks and sounds delicious, Julia. Tell the people about this cake, Tom Cruise cake.
It looks really good. It's frosted.
Mm-hmm.
There's coconut on top.
Copious amounts of coconut.
I don't love that, but I can see where it's a draw.
I'm a coconut guy.
And I do like a bundt cake, because usually it means it has like a lot of butter, and I like a buttery.
It's a little too thick. I like my cakes to be airy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even like cake that much.
We're not on the same page. I fucking love cake, so.
Oh, wow, cake is overrated.
That's completely crazy. Anyway, it looks awesome, and I love Tom Cruise has a cake that he sends. Also, that is like an expensive gift for A-listers, so yes. I like that it's also a flex.
Quick personal story, which is also somewhat of a flex. My wife was working on the ESPY Awards. Tom Cruise was involved.
Really?
But it was the AFC and NFC championship game, so he asked for DVDs of the games because he was on a movie, so he could watch them at a later date. Think about the process of this. The game ends on Sunday night. Someone has to make a DVD. You probably touch that DVD on Monday. Overnight, I think it was in another country, so he's watching games that happened on Sunday on a DVD, like on Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Sorry. Pause. Football ends. That happens in January, and the ESPYs are in July. So
used to be in February.
Oh.
Back on you, Julia.
Okay, I was really confused. Yes, I was like,
they moved it. It used to be like
I see, All-Star break instead of Major League Baseball break.
Boom, exactly.
I see. Okay.
And then
you.
The Westminster Dog Show was eating into the ratings at some point. But point being, Joey did this little tiny favor for Tom Cruise. We go into our apartment building. There's a cookie platter.
Ooh.
Outside of our door.
Whoa.
Joey didn't give her address away, and it was from Tom Cruise as a thank you for the DVDs of the football.
Wow.
That's the level of detail this man goes to send baked goods to people, not even just A-listers.
You know, I can't say I'm entirely surprised, just because he has such a sterling reputation from people who interact with him.
Yes.
And such a poor reputation from people who don't interact with him. Like, there's so much stuff about, like, his Scientology and, like, all, like, the stuff behind the scenes with him. But I've never heard a story of someone who's actually interacted with Tom Cruise and have it be negative. Like, he's known for being really courteous, really professional, except for his rant about COVID when they were making...
No, he had some points there.
Sure.
He had some points.
It wasn't courteous and professional,
no,
though.
No, it wasn't courteous or professional, but he did... But, like, at its core, it didn't come from a place of evil. You know what I mean?
No, but he is known to be, like, a really good person to work with. It's interesting, and...
And sending us cookies to me doesn't prove anything, but it just says, like, he's got a really good team around him that follow up. I don't think Tom Cruise was, like, wearing an apron, baking these cookies and like, putting them on a platter. But he did just, like, say, get something for this person. And then someone else follows up and actually does it, which is really impressive.
Do you think that Tom Cruise pays for that himself? Or, like, is it part of, like, a budget that he gets when he works on a project?
I think Tom Cruise could live this life with, like, $100 in his checking account and be fine.
It'd be all good.
Yeah, it's just like the money isn't a thing to him. Like, it's like he doesn't trade in those currencies.
I was just wondering if he, like, builds it into, you know, his talent fees.
I think it comes from his production company, if I was going to guess.
Mm, good point. Okay, one more TikTok trend of the week. Savory oatmeal.
I didn't see this one. Did you? Sometimes you sneak one in after I've read all these topics.
I do
this all the time.
I did not. It was producer Mike. He sends out the outline and then doesn't let you know when he updates
it. Well, like our audience, this is news to me. So Food News, hosted by Juliet, listened to by David Jacoby.
It's oatmeal based, and then instead of putting in, like, fruit or
brown
syrup
sugar.
Or brown sugar, it's like kind of more like a bowl, like a kimchi bowl or a Korean bowl. Yeah, this one has spinach, fried eggs, soy sauce, oyster sauce, fish sauce. So it's basically like just using oatmeal as grains instead of like
quinoa. This is like a congee thing. I don't know too much about congee dishes, but I've had them before, and they're kind of like a mix between like grits and oatmeal, and they put a bunch of like chicken and other things like that in there. I'm open to this.
Me too. I was gonna say I'm not against this at all. It's just like a mental block. I think of oatmeal as like a breakfast base that I put sweet things on.
Yes.
I'm not like disgusted by this by any means, but it's just not where my mind goes when I think about making like a grain bowl.
So let's say I went to your home and you made this.
Uh huh.
I would just want you to lie to me and say, this is not just Quaker oats that I prepared the normal way. I want you to be like, oh, I have special oatmeal that better enhances these flavors. I have dinner oatmeal. Even if it's not true, it would make me feel better about eating it than being like, oh, this is just the same old oatmeal that I'm going to have tomorrow morning with like some blueberries in.
Question, how do you feel about a savory breakfast? And I'm not talking like chilaquiles or something, but more like having like a stew for like a 10 for breakfast or something like that.
No, thank you.
Hmm. Like, what is your ideal breakfast?
Oh, God. Well, it depends. It really depends.
Okay. What do you have today?
Today, I made an omelet with fat-free feta cheese, chopped up red pepper, chopped up onions.
Oh, that's really decadent.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Very little oil, you know, and no carbs.
That sounds great.
Try to be healthy.
I had mush for breakfast.
Mush is so good with flavor.
Strawberry. It was really good. I just tried some new ones lately, though. Peach, peanut butter.
It reminded me of when I bought it in bulk and ended up paying more for it.
Let's get into today's taste test, because I'm just, like, railing off some personal food news here, and I don't even know why.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead, sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Okay, I have some questions before we get into this. On the text thread, you said, there are some new truffles coming out that I want to try.
Yes, I made a mistake. I call them Hostess. They're Entenmann's.
Okay, here's my question.
Okay.
What the fuck is a truffle? Right? Because there's truffle oil, there's mushroom truffles, and then, like, there's four different types of candies that fall under the truffle umbrella. Like, a truffle is like one of the more flexible food words that we have. It can be so many different things.
This is a great question. So there's also, like, the mushroom truffles that, like, yes, are fancy for, yeah, those, that dogs, of course, find.
Those are not these chocolate, no, things. But look at these two products. Look very,
well,
different.
Well, Mike, so producer Mike, it was bad weather, so Mike didn't want to walk too far to find my desired item.
Wow, just threw him right under the bus there.
I did,
the snowplow.
I did. He was not time for snowplow jokes. Jeremy Renner broke 30 bones.
Yeah, he was saving his nephew. I didn't know the nephew part.
I know, it's really sad.
I hope Hawkeye is back.
I think they filmed it, but I don't know about the future. Anyway, I think of the Milk Bar truffles, which are so good. Have you ever had those birthday cake ones?
I've only been to Milk Bar once.
What?
I've only been to Milk Bar once.
That's a huge mistake.
I apologize to you.
Oh my God, I love it. I think I've discussed this. I pay too much to order it. And sometimes I'm just like, I'll just get a piece of cake for $35.
Yes. And then you tip the guy like $4.
It's like the biggest waste of money.
That's why Leander's not coming anymore. He's made off. He's bought a summer home in the Hamptons.
Okay. So those are like, it's almost like an uncooked dough. And then with like a crumb outside. We have hazelnut truffles.
Phrase here that they have.
These are from Whole Foods. Fireside treat, dessert before dinner, midnight morsel. There's no wrong way to chocolate. I appreciate that. Anyway, this is the description of this truffle. These hazelnut encrusted dollops of rich chocolate ganache hit every note of decadence you're seeking. So I think that the definition of a dessert truffle is like a ganache or like something like doughy or like creamy on the inside. You don't have a truffle in your hand. I just want to be clear.
Oh, this isn't a truffle.
No, you have a chocolate covered marshmallow.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
And so anyway, I have the dark chocolate hazelnut truffles, which I'm opening. They're imported from France. And wow, they're so much smaller than I was expecting based on Milk Bar. But I'm trying one. I like hazelnut.
I do like hazelnut.
Yeah, it's good.
Look at Ferraro.
Yeah. I don't need a second bite, but it's good.
Oh, that's a one bite experience for me.
Yeah, it should have been, but I'm just weird. I guess we already knew that.
We've covered that.
The other thing we have
from Whole Foods.
I think this is funny. On this box, it says fair trade cocoa, full on chocolate. So is that like shade at Trader Joe's? Like there's no cadmium or lead in this? Like what are they trying to say?
Full on chocolate.
Full on chocolate. I love a chocolate covered marshmallow. I love
this
marshmallows.
This is also milk chocolate.
I prefer milk chocolate.
I do too. But I would think full-on chocolate would be dark chocolate. Yes.
This is good.
Of course. Some marshmallow.
It's delicious.
This is a two-bite experience.
How many calories is this? 45 for one.
For one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm well spent.
Would you keep these in the freezer?
No.
Do you like Malamars?
I don't know. Nothing comes to mind when you say that.
Really?
I don't know what you're talking about. Malabars?
Malabars. The cookies.
Nope. Don't know what you're talking about.
They're really good. It's a wafer, and then marshmallow, and then covered in chocolate. It's just like these, minus the wafer.
Wafer.
My grandma always had them. I love them.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard of that.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom
Cruise. Is that like a Jewish grandma thing?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Personal food news.
Personal food news.
Do I have to go first?
You always go first.
I've shared so much today already. All right. My personal food news is, last night for dinner, on the topic of when you have different things, I made blueberry pancakes for myself.
What the fuck?
I was just like,
what the fuck?
I was just like deeply craving blueberry pancakes.
Did you have like blueberries?
Yes.
You're just like, what can I do with this? Or were you like, I'm craving blueberry pancakes?
I was like, I'm craving blueberry pancakes.
Do you use pancake mix or do you just like go from scratch?
I was in a pinch, so I used mix. I wish I had done it from scratch.
Okay.
It was so good.
How many blueberry pancakes?
Like four small ones. Like I did like half serving from the box.
Yep.
And then I have like a salty butter spread. So I put that on and then syrup.
Wow.
It was really good.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It was like a comfort food dinner. And it was fast and it was very cheap. It was great.
That sounds amazing.
I was like, this is adult life. craving blueberry pancakes and then having them immediately.
I don't think that's quintessential adult life.
Well, it
making
is
pancakes
to me.
For yourself.
What do you think it is? Paying bills? Dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Paying bills, being stressed out, and being sad. Yeah.
Well, I decided that it was making myself happy was being an adult, and that was having blueberry pancakes.
Good job, Julia.
Thank you. Your turn.
My son loves food, and recently he's been wanting to cook. And last night, we went to Key Food. We made a great chicken vegetable stir fry. Two nights ago, he goes, Dad, I'm going to make boiled water tonight.
What?
Exactly.
That's it?
And he's like, I'm going to get the recipe for boiled water. And I was like, well, the recipe is not that complicated. You put water in the pot, and then you boil it.
Like, salt? I was like,
are you joking?
Did you put salt in there?
He's like, no, I'm making boiled water. He has the How to Cook Everything book. We have that. Mm. He goes to the back, right, finds boiled water, finds the page that boiled water is on. Little did I know, being a soup guy that I am, boiled water is a form of Mediterranean soup.
So what else is in it?
Lots of garlic.
Ooh.
We put tomato in it as well.
Like fresh or from a can?
No, from a can.
Okay.
But like sort of like a tomato pasty thing, sure. to give it like something else. But it's like tons of garlic. I think there's some lemon in there and some herbs, a bay leaf or two.
This sounds very medicinal.
It really was good.
That sounds great.
So like—
Shout out Mark Bittman.
Yeah, shout to Bittman. So my son tricked me into thinking that he was going to cook boiled water, ended up making soup with him. Very garlicky.
Two.
Not bad.
Minutes.
Sounds great.
Also fry up a baguette in some oil. Put that in the bowl before you pour the boiled water on top.
That sounds awesome and like Parisian.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very good. And I was impressed with him. And I was really just disappointed in myself for being so adamantly wrong about the boiled water thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Quick Mark Bittman story. I saw him at a conference and he made like a really good point about how like the role of fast food in communities where there's not like a lot of childcare or like, you know, just like poor communities and like the role of McDonald's. And I thought it was really interesting and made a really good point and sort of flipped the script on how people tend to talk about McDonald's. So then I saw him afterwards and I was like, that was really interesting. I'm going to think about that for a while. And he had like no interest in talking to me. I was like, I'm just here to give you a compliment, man.
Burning that fucking book when I get home.
All right. Let's hear from some listeners and listener food news. And they called in using the phone number 646-STEW-138.
Hi, Julia and Jacoby. This is Brittany from Cleveland, Ohio. I am a nurse in a hospital, and I work on labor and delivery, and we frequently give our patients diet Seramist, which is what the hospital has always, you know, provided or whatever. The other day, we noticed that there is this Starry, which the can and the design look like it is from the dollar store. It is, like, the worst design, worst name, and it also tastes like Seramist. Like
30 seconds.
Carbon. It's the most disgusting diet soda. I'm like, what are they thinking? Seramist is so good. They really made a mistake here. I just had to let you know. Love the show. Love you guys. Bye.
This is awesome.
Nurses.
I'm about to say nurses are so important. Anyone who's ever spent time in a hospital themselves or with a loved one knows nurses are so important and generally such kind people. And a labor and delivery nurse with a woman and her family and like
a
time of need and a really like important time in a woman's life is such a beautiful
job. The NICU nurses are actual angels, like actual living angels. And nurses also play a really good role of like they're half doctors and half people. So like when the doctor gives you the weird, like terrible diagnosis and then leaves the room, you kind of pull the nurse aside and be like, so what's really going on here?
Oh my God. You know? I have so much respect and adoration for nurses, especially in the last few years, but even before that. So thank you so much for listening.
Shout out to
and
you,
thank
Brittany.
You for your work, Brittany. We really appreciate it.
So I've seen Starry in the Wild very quickly after they came out with that press release.
Wow, that's good.
I saw Starry in the Wild yesterday. Well. Yeah, they got it right out. And she's right. The curbside appeal of Starry could use some improvement.
I got a lot of feedback on Starry. People have thoughts, and they're not happy about it. I don't think Starry is gonna go great.
I don't think so either.
Although maybe I just got the hiccups from these truffles, apparently. Sorry. Anyway, I don't think it's going to go great for Starry. So Pepsi, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, maybe this is all part of their plan.
For us to talk about it 2 weeks in a row?
No. Long Con put out a shitty competitor to Sprite. And then relaunch.
Oh, Sierra Mist. Everyone's like, oh, so happy it's back.
Yeah, it's so happy it's back. And maybe I'll give it a little bit of a push.
Was that a labor and delivery joke?
No.
But let's assume it was.
It played.
Thanks again for calling, Brittany. Thanks for your work. You're awesome. Also, thank you to Ronick Nair and Mike Wargon for producing today's episode. Mm. We'll be back next week.
I'm going to have some blueberry pancakes.